We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle drew 1-1 with Chelsea on the last day of the Premier League season. What a season it has been. We are here to talk about yesterday in all its glory in the sunshine at Stamford Bridge. I'm Alex and I've got Charlotte, Sam Dalling and Stu alongside me now. Stu Montgomery's first True Faith Free podcast recording. So welcome, Stu. We're buzzing to have you. A couple of mentions from me as always. Number one, we're on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month. You get all these shows ad-free and you get fucking loads of Newcastle United podcasts over the summer coming. Get involved. We're also going to keep these free shows going over the summer, one per week. So keep tuning in to the Faith Free podcast. We would like that very, very much. I want to get into yesterday, though. Charlotte, I'm going to start with you, my friend. You were in the away end at Stamford Bridge. From the TV, from the internet, it just looked like one hell of a party. How was it for you?
Yeah, it was one hell of a party. It was so loud. I don't think I've been in an away end that loud, that consistently. Away ends are usually loud. It's that 3,000 strong contingency of, you know, diehard fans. End of the season, though, sunny day, about half of them have been on these boats coming up the river. The rest of them have been sort of spread out all over London to kind of come together at Fulham, at Chelsea. Fulham being where Chelsea is, I'm not just getting that wrong, by the way. It was just so loud. In the first half, I thought we might not stop singing at all. Like, I was editing our Matchday podcast for Patreon last night, and I was like, I don't know when stuff happened. We like to pick out parts of when things happened. I don't know when it happened because the crowd was so loud, singing so many songs, loads from the previous songbook of years gone by, and loads of new ones, obviously, about the Champions League, or new old ones about the Champions League, new for a lot of people. And it was just a class day out. Nothing was riding on it. We were just excited to see the team.
Look, it was everything that I'd imagined it was going to be. So often in football, we spend like a lot of energy before stuff, you know, like the cup final that obviously didn't really happen. It was just a dream. We spent 2 weeks building up to it, thinking it's going to be an occasion, and it lets you down. But this one was just perfect. And I'm very lucky. Sometimes I get to go in press boxes at football. And actually, the last day of the season is the busiest because all 10 games are happening simultaneously. And I said, look, I'm not working because I don't want to miss this away end. And I made absolutely the right decision. Like, brilliant, by the way, this random fixture computer that the Premier League has given us these West London away trips last game of the season. We had that lovely one at Fulham a few years back under Rafa, where we thought, okay, this is going to be a time of change. But there was still a little bit of apprehension there. We were like, oh yeah, but Mike Ashley's still in charge, so maybe it'll go wrong. Yesterday, like, everyone just had a party. The sun was shining. We're in the bars of West London or on the boats. It was like everything in away end should be. Charlotte has nailed it. It was the consistency. Like, away ends are always loud. It was just 90 minutes of enjoyment. There were some new songs as well. There was a new Anthony Gordon one. And by the way, you know, he must have been delighted to hear his name being sung for 90 odd minutes. And he popped up with the goal just to make sure we continued it. There was a new that Rocking Out All Over the World one with Eddie Howe and Jason Tindall at the end. It was just perfect. And then those two, they're usually so reserved, Howe and Tindall, but to see them, well, Tindall isn't actually, that's a complete lie, but Howe is. To see him show some emotion, that punched at the air, it was just one punch, but it just meant so much. And the noise, the roar that got me greeted with was like, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it now. That's why we follow football. That's why we follow Newcastle United. And hopefully it's going to be the first of many.
Yeah, first of many. I mean, this is the difference with Newcastle United these days. I mean, you're right, Sam, that end of the 18-19 season was a similar kind of vibe and atmosphere. We've had some reasonable last days, as it goes, actually, in the past few years. But most of the time, the games mean nothing, but in the worst kind of way, like almost like Chelsea's yesterday. I mean, we did have a chance to finish third yesterday, as it turns out. You know, whatever Newcastle had done wouldn't have mattered. I think it's a real shame. That's an exaggeration, but I do think we've been better than Manchester United this season. But that's what they say. The league table doesn't lie. It does. Clearly lies frequently, and particularly in this occasion, because I think Newcastle have been the third best team in the league. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It's about £1.8 million different. That's the only thing. But ultimately, it's, you know, I've talked consistently about how good it is to have Newcastle involved in these incredibly consequential fixtures. It was actually nice yesterday to just, like, job done, easy as you like, can kind of, you know, Miguel Amaron can miss chances for fun. It's absolutely fine. It doesn't matter. Anthony Gordon, like you say, we'll talk about him later. Sam had a lovely old day. Stu, I want to bring you in. You know, the last day of the season, it was baked in sunshine. You know, how did you perceive what was going on, not just in the stands, but on the pitch as well? It just seemed like the perfect end to what has been the best season.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. It reminded me of the last day of school quite in a lot of ways, even to the point of expectations were nice and low. No one really, you know, overly worried about things. It was a lovely sense of everyone being relaxed about things, and obviously not being at the game, watching it on TV. It was just nice to not, you know, be on tenterhooks watching a game. Even Eddie Howe, you know, and Sam mentioned it there with a big fist pump, a show of emotion. You know, Eddie Howe is that teacher that, you know, never really smiles or has a bit of crack all throughout the year, and then the last day of term has a tie tied around his head and his pelting water balloons at sixth formers. You know, it was just so lovely to see that him sort of, it was almost as if we've been holding our breath all season, not believing where we are and what we're doing. And then we all had a sort of collective sort of letting go. And that was reflected in what Sam and Charlotte have seen at the game, which was just phenomenal. You know, as a season, it's been expectations shattering, I think maybe is the best way to put it. I think we'll get into sort of general thoughts on the season as a whole or what our final position means for that. But it blew all of my expectations out of the water. And I couldn't be happier. Pride, I suppose, is one of the main things. I was extremely proud of what they'd done, you know, throughout the season, and it culminated in a game that, as you say, meant very, very little in the best possible way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, that sense of pride really came across from the away end. It came across in the build up to the game and also post game as well. You know, that's kind of two games in a row now where post-game, I mean, you know, Eddie Howe and the team, they always do the post-game thing, home or away, win, lose, or draw, and that's fantastic and a big part of what they do. But there just does seem to be this absolute sense of appreciation from fans to players and club, from club to fans to players, and from players to fans as well. Pretty powerful thing. In fact, I'm trying to think of kind of last day of the season scenes yesterday that could probably match ours, and even Manchester City, who've gone and won the league, and yeah, forget about the result for a minute, and they've got more important things to do in the weeks coming up. I just think Newcastle United are in a unique situation with the relationship between the fan base and the club at the minute and the players, and that probably was nicely demonstrated by yesterday. And the game, we are going to talk about the game in part two, but it was just completely inconsequential. It won't live long in the memory. The most important part of it was probably that as a very expensive signing got his first Premier League goal and played pretty well. So I'm absolutely fine if we every single year at the end of the season could be in party mode like that. We'll be doing okay as a Premier League side. Going to move on now to part two of the show. A couple of adverts here. If you don't want to listen, you know what to do. Patreon, £3 a month. Link in the description. Back after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sam, yesterday the game itself then, 1-1 draw. It was a strange game, and the very strange commentary I listened to on TV kept talking about it being a very strange game, as if they'd never seen an end-of-season Premier League game before. What were your thoughts on the result, the game, anything like that? Is it fair enough to just say end-of-season game? That's it. What do you think, pal?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, you look at who we were missing in that side. You could see we were missing Bite in midfield. No Joe Linton, no Longstaff, no Joe Willock even. We forget about him. It felt first half, you know, I had a quick look at the possession stats. I know we barely had any of the ball. It was similar numbers to Brighton. But, you know, that's what you should expect from a side against a side that cost £500 million at home. And I've seen them a couple of times. They are decent. They just lack confidence in front of goal. That's been the thing with Chelsea. It's hard to properly kind of reflect on it because I was in such party mode. There wasn't the tension. Only when the ball was very near our goal did I feel any sort of tension. Usually I'm kind of a bit of a nervous watcher. Even if we lose possession deep down the other end, I'm worried. But, like, you know, I thought we were decent first half. Actually, I thought we'd look like we'd score every time we went forward. That share ping across to Maxi. Maxi had a really good game, I thought. He did a couple of really good things defensively back in our own left-back position. I mean, there was one time where he took a couple of players on, and maybe if the game had had more riding on it, you wouldn't have wanted him to do that. But the share ball over to Maxi, that ping diagonal ball that he played so well to Joe Linton earlier in the season, seemed to be working. Isak up top from the middle was good fun. And I thought Anderson had a decent game, actually. Got the assist. It was a really good ball. So there's a positive. He played it across for Gordon. So hopefully the first of many Gordon goals and the first of many Anderson assists. But to get any real gauge on it, it was one of those, you can see it's played at almost pre-season pace. Like there's not as many tackles flying in as you would see elsewhere, like in the previous couple of weeks. So in terms of barometer, you're like, not really massively telling, but they deserve it. You know, they've had 37 arduous games where they've poured everything into it. And we've gone to Chelsea and not lost. And we have a terrible record at Stamford Bridge. I remember seeing us win there in the Carling Cup, but since then it's been slim pickings. I missed the Papiss Cissé game, by the way.
Stu, you know, Sam raises a lot of good points there. And I want to talk a little bit about Anthony Gordon. You know, he's come in January. Eddie Howe, to facilitate that signing and satisfy financial fair play, had to get rid of players. Two players didn't want to lose, Jondra Shelvey and Chris Wood. And I believe reading some stuff over the weekend that the only reason he let those players go, even regardless of the need to sign them to satisfy FFP for the signing of Gordon, is because both players said they wanted to go. He hasn't, let's face it, he hasn't had a great Newcastle career so far, has he? He's shown flashes. Manchester United at home when he came on, brilliant game. I thought he was excellent there. West Ham away, come on, did some good stuff. West Ham at home, actually. But he hasn't hit the heights yet. How important do you think yesterday was for him?
Massive. He downplayed it a wee bit. I think High actually downplayed it a little bit. But Gordon himself came out and said he was relieved. And you could see that on his face. He was relieved when he scored in, as Sam says, a pretty inconsequential game. He was very pumped about it. He was kissing the badge and all. He was definitely needed that, I think, for his own confidence. He's just such an interesting player, and it's such an interesting situation because he has all the attributes to be a properly world-class player. It's putting them all together and using them. I think whenever he did that walk around the ground with, you know, meeting all the players, and how he goes up to him and says, "I've been watching you for a long time." I think everyone was saying, "Well, what were you watching? What part of it really appealed to High and to the Newcastle recruitment team?" And I think it's the fact that he can play a lot of positions, that he works hard, that he's obviously very, very pacey. And you saw flashes of that yesterday. He did work hard. I think where I grew slightly frustrated with him is his decision making at times, where maybe he will win the ball back and then a bit like Maxi, you know, not offload the pass or not get it in the right position. So I think, and to be fair, Gordon acknowledged this yesterday himself, he needs a pre-season. He needs to work with the team. He needs to work with High. He needs to embed himself into that core group of players. He is going to have a very difficult time breaking into that team, the first 11. Even now, he finds it difficult. And with the summer that we all anticipate we're about to have, that's going to be a massive, massive task. So the proof will be in the pudding there. If he is able to integrate himself and get on in High's good graces and start in the team that we're hopefully going to have at the end of August, he'll be some player.
Well, I'm really pleased he referenced that post-match interview we did there. He's a really, really honest guy. It's quite refreshing. I don't know whether it's lack of media training. I don't know if it's too much media training. But he just kind of says what he thinks. And he said post-game, I think this was to NUFC TV, he basically said that the step up in quality coming from Everton to Newcastle was massive. He didn't expect it, which is way to kind of just twist that knife a little bit as your former team are celebrating, staying up and running the pitch and doing mad shit like that. But he also said it'd been a really hard season, a really hard season for him personally. And I quite like that honesty. And you're right, Stu, that he did take that goal really seriously and importantly, and he loved scoring. I mean, the defending for the goal is probably up there with the worst ever defending I've ever seen from a Premier League side. Shame that didn't happen more often. And if Chelsea could continue to defend in that fashion next season, things will go well for us. But ultimately, you know, Newcastle still aren't the kind of team that can have like a flop, big money flop. The finances and the financial fair play stipulations that we adhere to are too tight for Newcastle United to have a £45 million flop. Now, I don't think any serious Newcastle fan would be writing off Gordon from this season alone or calling him a flop yet. It was absolutely too early. He's hardly had a chance to demonstrate what he can do. But it is really important that Newcastle United get a lot out of an investment next season. And you are right, Stu. The first thing he's got to do is get in the team. And if he's getting in the team, such as the quality Newcastle possess now in these wide areas, you'd expect that to be enough for him to be a serious force at this level. And it was great. And like one of you said possibly earlier, Sam, for him, it has got to be a little boost, little confidence boost to basically be kind of, you know, I don't know how they got to Stamford Bridge yesterday. I was going to say walk. They probably didn't walk. They probably got a bus or some sort of transport. But, you know, the streets of London were just the Anthony Gordon song yesterday. The warm-up was the Anthony Gordon song yesterday. The first 20 minutes was the Anthony Gordon song yesterday. And then from the score, it is just kind of, it was your day, Anthony, and I'm pleased that you got to experience it, mate. We'll move on now, though, to another player I kind of want to celebrate. A little bit under the radar yesterday, Charlotte, but I've never seen this before from Newcastle United, certainly. And although some players did drop into midfield and help out in midfield, Bruno Guimarães was given the task yesterday of playing midfield by himself. He was the only midfielder. He, you know, we are missing three of our four, you know, midfielders that we have. We don't have loads of them. Three of them were out in Willock, Longstaff and Joe Linton. He did it by himself, Charlotte. And I think that also speaks to just the not only the quality that he has, but the leadership characteristics that he have. Ultimately, If you are asked who was Newcastle's most important player this season, in my opinion, you cannot look past Bruno Guimarães. We did not win a game without him in the team. If he'd been fit and available for every game all season, who knows where we might have finished up. Your thoughts on him yesterday, Charlotte?
Yeah, I think we'd have won the league. I mean, he's just amazing, isn't he? And you kind of hit the nail on the head there with the leadership comment. That's kind of what I was going to say. He was manning the midfield on his own yesterday. Obviously, he had Gordon there, but he's really up and down the wings, not really doing a tremendous amount in midfield. And Elliot Anderson, sort of same situation, really, because of the way we were set up and the way we were playing yesterday. And he's still the player that attracts players. So as soon as he gets the ball, he's got a couple of Chelsea players on him. You know, Lampard may be a dreadful manager, but he knows who to pick out and who to tell his players to crowd. And he didn't do that with Maxi for some reason, but he did it with Bruno. So he didn't have tons of room and space, but he still managed to kind of command that midfield, speak to his teammates, understand the way that the game was going. And he was also doing this with this ankle injury. I think he said yesterday or the day before that he was fine. And then he posted this big long thing on his Instagram last night. Like, it was like a carousel of 10 pictures of how smashed up his ankle has been throughout this season. He's had a terrible time with it. And the rumors that he needs an operation, I don't know about that. You'd have thought that he might have got sent like Nick Pope did before this game, because we didn't really need him for this game. So maybe he doesn't, it's not that serious, but he's clearly carrying an injury and he's clearly getting stomped on every single game, and still managing to produce the quality that he's producing and to command the midfield and to command the respect of opponents and his teammates. And I thought he was absolutely excellent yesterday. You know, it's a very difficult job to be given to run midfield on your own. And you wouldn't have thought it was a difficult job watching Bruno.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a look at his numbers from yesterday. 6 tackles / interceptions combined. Like, that's twice as many as our next best player. And given, you know, we didn't have very much of the ball, for him to do that on his own, the amount of ground he covers is phenomenal. And if he does have a bad ankle, which he's pretty obvious he does, because he goes down holding it a couple of times a game, like, I just cannot wait to see him fully fit again and firing in that midfield.
It was really interesting, to me at least, that pre-game he did an interview with NUFC TV, and he was asked about his ankle, and he was like, "What, my ankle? It's fine. It's absolutely, there's nothing wrong with my ankle." And then he got like kicked on it within 10 minutes of the game and was down for like 6 minutes writhing in agony, pointing at his ankle to the physio. Like, I think Sam just put in our little private chat here that Eddie Howe's ability to lie is seeping through the rest of the team. So he is a great coach in more ways than one. We have to talk, though, about Lewis Miley yesterday, robbed of one of the great moments in a Newcastle shirt, the youngest ever player to represent Newcastle in the Premier League. What a moment that would have been. He seems like a real promising talent. He's been involved in the first team squad picture a lot in recent weeks. This isn't just a reaction to injuries at the end of the season. He's been training with the first team loads. Stu, what did you make of his introduction and performance, mate?
It was excellent, you know, for his age, and he showed an awful lot of confidence on the ball, a calm head. Admittedly, it's as low a stake game as you can get, so a nice, you know, environment to put him in. And yes, Stamford Bridge can be hostile, but it certainly wasn't yesterday. Most of the players are playing in flip-flops at that point, but it was still a really measured and composed performance. He didn't look out of place, I think is the best compliment I can place him, and in a team that is placed fourth in the Premier League, and for a lad that's born in, sorry everyone, 2006, I think that's really good. He's attacking mid, so you know we need options there. You know, we're looking at like some Madison and players like that. He is an attacking mid, and you just don't know if we're going to be an elite club and moving up to that area of the Premier League, then bringing in players like Lewis Miley, you know, from the youth system to come in and be worth 50 million, like Anthony Gordon and players like that. This is what we need to be doing. So it's really, really encouraging to see young players come in, fit into house style, fit into, you know, the team as a whole, and as I say, not look out of place.
I think you can't underestimate, like, look, it's 20 minutes. He's a young kid. The number of Premier League players that have got 20 minutes in a nothing game at the end of the season and never been seen again, like, is huge. So it's a moment he'll never forget. It's a moment his family will always cherish. I hope he pushes on. And I think it's a kind of wider point, isn't it? You're looking ahead at the future and European squads, and because you've got this eight homegrown, there's a double element to it. You've got to have eight homegrown, but you've also got to have, I think it's four that have been with the club for 4 years between the ages of 16 and 19 or something like that. I'm sorry if I'm misquoting that. But to get these kind of players, to have an academy, we all remember the days, and to be honest, they're not that distant, of looking on various websites and seeing, oh, the academy have been thrashed 7-1 again, they've been thrashed 8-1 again. If we can start producing more players, you know, someone like Longstaff has come through, he ticks that box. If we can, and I think we will, because Dan Ashworth has come in and they're going to set it up so that we go all the way through the club, so we are a proper football club. If we can have players like Lewis Miley come in and be part of the first team squad, even if they're not playing regular games in the starting 11, actually, it's really important. You need them. There is a spot for them. And he's got 3, 4, 5 years before he actually even needs to be registered. But I would love to see someone like him and a couple of others go that way rather than go the way of people like, I don't know, do you remember the likes of Adam Campbell? And I suppose Armstrong has done all right, but we've seen loads of players that have gone the other way. I hope Miley goes the right way, in inverted commas.
Yeah, I agree with you. But what I will say to maybe, and you know, I don't doubt that your hope, what I'll say about Miley is that, you know, he played against Vallecano when he was 16. He came on from the bench briefly. He's been on the benches as a 16-year-old when Newcastle did have more options across the season. I think that Howe really sees something in this kid. And there are lots of kids, like you say, who don't quite make it at this level. And this is a very high level at this football club right now, and go on to have very good careers at other clubs. Adam Armstrong being a classic case of one, a guy who's had a very good championship and even a Premier League career, didn't make it at Newcastle. But the fact that, you know, he was only able to sign his first professional contract this month when he turned 17, that's really, really young. So there are young players at 18, 19, 20, 21 who come in and get a chance, like you say, Sam, because it's another season. I think to throw in a kid at 16 years old at St James's Park and then a very young 17 in the Premier League, I think that they think there's something really, really special about this kid. And you are spot on, Sam, about the need for homegrown talent for European qualification reason. But also, it was a big part of what we weren't doing pre-takeover. There's a chance that a child like Lewis would have gone to Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester City. We would develop them and then another club would come in and pick them up as soon as possible, because it makes perfect sense for that player to go elsewhere. It's one of the huge benefits of this takeover, that we are now not only developing our own, but then producing them into the first team. You had, Bobby Clark went to Liverpool, and then, as Sam's just put in the comments, Gibson went to Everton. That should never happen again for good, young, northeast developed talent. And that's a bigger thing about what happened yesterday as anything. Him coming on, him looking at home, like Stu says, at that level, a really, really positive moment for me. So, can't wait to see more of what he does in pre-season as well. Hope he gets a chance. You assume he might have to go on loan eventually to play some more first-team football and develop. But wow, what a prospect. And like I said earlier, if that shot goes the other side of the crossbar, it's one of the famous Newcastle moments. So good day for him, but really unlucky. Really unlucky for him that it hit the bar. Let's move on now to part three of the show. A couple more adverts back straight after these. The season is over. We have 3 free shows on True Faith this week, so we're going to do a full season review later in the week, out Thursday evening probably. But I do have to talk about the season, the achievement, and everything that has happened so far this season. Charlotte, I want to start with you on this one. Ultimately, Newcastle United are a Champions League club. How do you feel that now it's the day after the last game of the season? How are you analysing, reflecting on the longest of seasons, it feels like, because of the World Cup, but also just the best of seasons?
Yeah, the longest of times, the best of times. It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? I was thinking about this last night because I took myself tea after the game and then to come and edit the podcast, the Matchday podcast. And I just, I feel almost a little bit numb still about it all. Like, it's going to sink in over the next few days. But I feel tired. So God knows how this incredible squad feels, because the thing that I sort of get stuck on when I start thinking about it is we have had this insane season. We got to a cup final. Okay, the cup final wasn't the best game of our lives. Let's not dwell on it too much. But we got to a cup final. We have finished in a Champions League place just below Manchester United with the second joint best defence league. Ooh, my words have come out all wrong there, but you know what I'm saying. This far exceeds what I expected at the beginning of this season. And the thing that I keep getting stuck on is we've done that with basically the same players throughout the entire time. There has been very little rotation. There have been very few signings that have got into the first team on a consistent basis. And I cannot believe it. Like, that cannot be underplayed for me. I just think it needs kind of shouting from the rooftops. This team have put in their all, and this head coach, whatever you want to call him, and his coaching squad have put in everything to this season, and you can see it. And I know that we're going to build on that, and we're going to go on to amazing things. And yeah, there is going to be personnel shift on at squad level over the summer. There has to be. But it's like that end of school feeling. It's that kind of, we can breathe out now. But as I start to reflect on the season, I can't believe the effort that has been put in from this group of lads.
The end of school thing is an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? I remember like school or university exam periods. I remember thinking, oh, I cannot wait for that last exam. I cannot wait for the feeling after the last exam. And then you'd walk out of the last exam and just feel like flat. Like, oh, well, you kind of almost in your head, you're expecting just kind of like balloons and party poppers to go off. Yeah, the world is a brilliant place now. No more exams, right? This is the opposite. The season's finished and we've had our party down at Stamford Bridge. And it's like, oh my God, now we've actually got to process what comes next. It's 31st of August. We're going to find out. There's going to be three different cities we're going to get to visit as a Champions League club. And that's the first time in my adult lifetime that's going to have happened. And I just like cannot wait. Like I'm a very nervous flyer. I don't fly unless I absolutely have to. And I haven't flown. I've used the pandemic as a little bit of an excuse. So if True Faith could sort me out some kind of Dennis Bergkamp style arrangement whereby someone drives me to the European away days, that would be excellent, Alex. I just thought I'd put that in on air just to kind of hold you to it. But I just cannot wait. And you mentioned it at the top of the show, and I'm sorry to bring it back again, but I think you cannot underestimate the connection between fans and players. And that is so hard to get at Premier League level, by the way. They're so hard to get near. It's all managed. You can't get near them via press offices. Social media is half the time run by people who aren't the players themselves. Yet you could see they feel it too. It means so much to them to be in the Champions League. And I think that makes it a little bit extra special, as if it wasn't special enough already.
All this is absolutely phenomenal. But at the heart of it, I'm a very petty man. And one of the things that's been probably the nicest for me is living outside of Newcastle and, you know, different country altogether. I would wear a Newcastle shirt out or a jacket out and walk around the shops or go to the gym or whatever. And in the past, I would have had looks of pity, looks of like desperation. How can we help this poor individual? Things like that. Since this season has started, pretty much, it's looks of like jealousy. I wouldn't go so far to say hatred, but real jealousy, real almost frustration. And it's from fans, I'm assuming fans because they were on the shirts, Liverpool fans, Manchester United fans, Tottenham fans, all of these clubs that are completely rattled by what we've done. You know, not only have we done something they expected us to do, hence the terror, the takeover, but we've done it in a season, in one full season. And it just, your mind can't help but jumping ahead and going, well, if we could do that in a season, you know, 3 years ahead of schedule or however long, how many years they are ahead of schedule, what could we do next season? You know, we talk about it jokingly, let's take a run at a title. it's not really a joke. You know, if we spend the right money and we'll have the same consistency, the stats are there. So I think it's that sense of possibility that comes from such a wonderful season where you're not worried about relegation, where in fact you're worried about whether you can clinch Champions League qualification on a Monday or a Sunday. It's just been utterly phenomenal. I mean, my expectations at the start of the season were top eight at a cup run. I think it would probably be a bit downplaying it a wee bit, but that would have been kind of happy with that, to be honest. So to get Champions League qualification, get to a cup final, it's just incredible and better than anything I could ever imagine, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Well said by all three of you, and there is a lot to go into in terms of analysing this season, which is what we're going to do on our Patreon platform in the months to come. But I think there are a few stats that have jumped out at me this morning when preparing for this podcast. The biggest one, to be honest with you, the headline one is Newcastle lost the fewest games in the league. That's a remarkable thing to do. Manchester City also lost the same number of games. Everyone else, including Arsenal, including Manchester United, lost more games than Newcastle United. And I'll kind of always hold on to the fact that Newcastle, apart from Aston Villa away, didn't deserve, in my opinion, to lose any of those games, which I don't think Manchester City can say about the games that they lost. I don't think Arsenal can say about the games that they lost. Newcastle lost two games at home this season to Liverpool and Arsenal in both fixtures. Liverpool's goal, the opposition goalkeeper got man of the match. That's the kind of football club I want to support. You can't win every game. Liverpool had that kind of crazy 5-year unbeaten run, but most teams lose the odd game at home. I'm all right with that, it happens. But if you're going to come at Winston James's Park, your goalkeeper better have the game of the season. And that's what happened ultimately. And that's really satisfying. But for me, the most impressive stat, the most interesting thing, is if you look at the top 10 sides, Newcastle scored 4 goals or more in a fixture against half of them. This isn't the bottom 5. This isn't the bottom part of the league. Newcastle scored 4 goals or more in a game against Brighton, Villa, Spurs, Brentford and Fulham. All good football teams. Spurs in 8th place lost 14 games. I actually think Newcastle's 71 points isn't a fair reflection of the performances that they've put in this season. Newcastle topped the charts for most times hitting the crossbar and post. There are a lot of goals left out there by Newcastle this season, and they have a plus goal difference of 35. It's too early to talk about next season yet, and it's too early to talk about what might happen. There's a lot more reflecting to do on the achievements of this season. But ultimately, Newcastle United, for me, are much closer to the teams above them than they are the chasing pack below. And that is extraordinary from Eddie Howe. Not just get us in the top 4, but this isn't an Everton top 4. It's not a West Ham nearly moment. It's not a Leicester City even potentially. Because Newcastle are only the second team since 2006 to qualify for the Champions League outside of the traditional Big Six clubs in the Premier League era or the latter half of the Premier League era. I think Eddie Howe is building something, and something that is going to get better and better and better. And it just makes it so exciting for next season. Sam, I'll do what we can for you, mate, but I have a feeling it might be a few connecting buses and trains and stuff like that, because I don't know who's going to drive you and it might take you about 6 days there and back. But Newcastle in the Champions League, and that is all that matters. What an absolute pleasure it's been. Not going to say too much more because we've got so much more to come from True Faith on the free podcast this week alone. So I'm going to leave it there and say thanks very much to Charlotte, Sam and Stu. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning. What a season, what a football club. If you like what we do, please come and join us on Patreon for between £3 and £8 a month. You know you want to. It's going to be a summer of fun talking about this season and beyond. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.